Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, the sun actually came up.
Yeah, it sure did. This is going to be an interesting show today. I know this is a tough time for Penn State fans and, you know, people that are part of the program. It's tough, but hopefully we'll get back on track.
I hope so, too. I was trying to think of the words to describe each of the games in the last 2 weeks. I would call the Oregon loss probably as tough a loss as a Penn State fan has experienced in a very long time. I think I would call the UCLA loss the most disappointing loss of the James Franklin era. Is that fair?
Yeah, that might be fair to say, just especially with the expectations and everything magnified this year with the roster and everything. So, yeah, the expectations, I think, were always the same inside the building, but outside the building, obviously, it's a little bit different. So that makes these losses even worse. But, yeah, it's hard to get around yesterday's loss and say that's not a tough one.
And, you know, let's address the elephant in the room. And I know this is a tough show for you to do, just like anyone who's a representative of Penn State. You know, Coach Franklin, after the game, had to deal with very, very tough questions. And his answers are all going to be under the microscope. Yeah. Let me start with I think this game, I called it the most disappointing, and I could point a lot of fingers. I don't think the coaching was great. I don't think the coordinators did a great job. Offense, defense, special teams. There's the travel issue coast to coast. There's the narrative, you know, letting Oregon beat you twice. I think James Franklin actually brought that up after the game.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the multitude, and it's an easy narrative, by the way, to come out on social media and say, it's time to fire Franklin. I guess my first question is, you know the people well who are involved in this. How is the team? How are the coaches? How are they reacting now? The day after.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't with the team this weekend, but I can only imagine that, you know, it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's tough to move on, just like last week was tough to move on. And then now, you know, this is, like you kind of pointed out, it's a different type of loss, right? You know, it's a loss that we were expected to win and bounce back and hopefully get us in the right direction. But now, you know, you just compound two losses. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to bounce back. But like I said last week, they have a routine. They'll go in today, just like a normal Sunday, Monday, and try to get over it. But hopefully the outside noise, you know, doesn't get to them. And maybe I think Coach kind of talked about that, like how that can, you know, one loss can turn into two losses with the negativity outside and the guys hearing it. More so now than ever, probably, right? Because of social media and things like that. And, you know, the guys hear it. You know, you got 100 plus guys on the team, on the roster. And then you got, what, another 80 in that building, you know? And then all these kids, they have friends and families, and then their families and friends are online. And, you know, they're looking for anything about their son. And so they're going to see negativity, you know, the families of the coaches. They're going to hear it, you know, so it's tough. It definitely is tough. It's not my first time and coach's first time and everybody's first time being in this position, but I get it. I get the narrative out there that it's tough because you're coming right off of that Oregon game And now this is just a completely different type of loss. So it's tough, but they'll bounce back. You know, their routine's not going to change, you know, because of the loss. As much as, like, you want to probably hear something different, it's really probably going to be the same thing in the building. And but I'm sure coach is going to address, you know, the things that we saw yesterday and try to get this ship in the right direction.
Well, when we talked about this a little bit last week, and I brought it up as if this was my great revelation that I put together, that as fans, the tough part about this week is fans can't divert their energy into practice, into preparation for the next game, like the team and the coaches can. They could do nothing but bitch and whine, okay? And we've seen plenty of that already, and I think it's going to go on for the week. So explain, though, after Oregon, how such a tough loss like that one a week ago can affect the team going forward. As much as coaches want to say, you got to flush it out, next day it's over, we analyze the tape, then we got to move forward. It's not quite that easy, though, is it?
No, I don't. Just like kind of what I just talked about, right? They're going to be wired. The coaches and Coach Franklin are going to be wired to not listen to the outside noise. But there's so many people connected to everybody inside that those people listen to the outside noise. And then, you know, when they go home, their wives and children and, you know, family members may hear some stuff and then bring it to them. You know, that's tough, blocking it out from that standpoint. So yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough to move on.
Well, and it starts at the top, the high profile guys, Coach Franklin, now the coordinators, mm-hmm. Drew Aller. And I don't know if you saw any of this. I kind of wish I hadn't, but it showed James Franklin walking off the field and a number of Penn State fans there. The yelling, the screaming, the obscenities that were thrown his way. And I understand he makes a lot of money. He should be able to take it. Yeah. You know what? I'm just not sure anyone should have to take that.
No, I agree 100%. You know, I'm with some friends here, and we're back in Virginia, and, you know, big football fans here, and kind of, they have all over the place. It's a mixed bag of people who they like, but just good college football fans. And I was talking about, you know, the job of a head coach and just what they do and what the things they have to manage on a day-to-day basis is insane. And I said exactly what you said. I get it. They make a lot of money, but it is crazy the amount of stuff that gets thrown in front of them. Plus, then there's the natural emotional side of things that you see, right? Like, that's, you're naturally going to want to have a certain reaction to fans chanting that after you invested so much time and so much equity in this place. That's got to hurt, right? Just any normal human being would hurt, you know, after seeing that and somebody that's put so much time and effort into building this program to what it is. That's tough. That's tough for all of you to hear. I know for me, it's tough because I'm not in his shoes, but I know all the stuff that coach and that staff puts into it, that it sucks hearing that stuff. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this isn't, yeah, I've been part of some ups and downs, and this is just part of it. This is part of the story. You know, this is our chapter, and hopefully the chapters get better after this and we have a good ending at the end of the book and at the end of the story, right? That's kind of how I look at it. There's no season. Every season has their own story, and they're all kind of ups and downs of chapters, and you're going to go through some stuff, and this is just obviously a really tough chapter in our story this year, and hopefully we can get over it.
Well, and I probably could have said this last week also, and I'll say it again this week, that there's still a lot of the season left to go. And some of the cliches, the we still have everything in front of us, we could still be – fans right now don't want to hear that. They yes. really don't. They're still in pain, Mike.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But with that said, the team can't afford to spend a week crying. They have to get their act back together. And after, you know, the three out of conference wins, which the team did not play as well as I'm sure they wanted to, the tough loss against Oregon, as we mentioned, and then this just crazy, totally unexpected, disappointing performance against UCLA. How does the coach and the team direct the team in the right direction? How do you flush that out?
I don't have an answer for that, really, to be honest. It's, you just have to lean on your older guys. You got to lean on your leadership, lean to the plan that you have set already. You know, Sunday isn't going to change that plan. You know, Monday's plan isn't going to change. Sticking to the plan and leaning on those older guys in the locker room to rally the troops. I think in the past, that's what I've seen. When you hit a low, it's, you know, when you hit a rough patch, it really depends on, like, your leadership in that locker room. What guys are going to step up and rally the troops, because it's tough. It's hard. All those guys, who are they going to fall on and lean on to kind of step up and be leaders and say, hey, we got to, it's going to be on us now to, you know, right the ship here. So I think that's a big part is that locker room. We have a ton of older guys in there. Obviously we've talked about them at length this offseason. So hopefully, you know, those guys in that locker room will be able to get everybody back together and rally them up.
I saw a quote from Denai Dennis Sutton, who I think he was, I didn't hear the question. All I saw was his answer. And I'm assuming he was asked about Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator. And Denai Dennis Sutton, he was really quick to say, no, it's not him. It's everybody. It's everybody in the room. And yeah, everybody has to take responsibility.
Yeah, and that's good to hear from Denai, an older guy like that, you know. It's really easy to, like, to see people's true colors in these tougher times, you know. And so when you have a leader like that step up and, you know, kind of take accountability like that, that's really positive. And that's a good thing moving forward, knowing you have Denai in the locker room. But not only Denai, I think a lot of those guys in there, they'll take accountability for a lot of the stuff that, you know, we saw yesterday.
It reminds me of the old saying, essentially, that defeat doesn't build character, it exposes it.
Yeah, 100%.
And so to hear something like that from a young man, I know he's a veteran among that group, he's still a young guy. That's what I want to hear from people, that look, it's all of us, we're all in this together. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Lot more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. This is quarter number two of our show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. Mike, you know, you're down in Virginia. I see that peaceful background behind you. It's a wooded area. Looks like it's a beautiful day. as I said when we opened the show, the sun still did rise this morning.
That's right, always.
All right. I'm buttering you up to prep for what's coming. All right. The elephant in the room is just the overwhelming. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. The call to move on from James Franklin. Okay. We heard the fire James Franklin chance last week. I want to give you my thoughts on it and get your reaction. Candidly, on Saturday, I thought the team was unprepared. I think they let Oregon beat them twice. I think this, you know, the travel East Coast to West Coast, did that have an effect? Not as an excuse. You've gone through it before. You should be prepared for it. I question the team being prepared for that onside kick. Very easy to say. They were out-coached in that manner, allowing the opposing quarterback time and time and time again to convert on third and long with his feet. And it seemed like the defense never adjusted to that. Offensively, we're still waiting for this great offensive line to open holes. You have Nick Singleton, your star running back, averaging less than 4 yards a carry. Everybody is absolutely calling for James Franklin's head. After all that, in my opinion, the worst coach game of the James Franklin era. You can't fire the guy. The repercussions of that, Mike, are so deep. I right now, it's a very easy thing for the media to get up on their soapbox and just scream, fire Franklin. His time is up. How can we keep that coach after that performance? But that's not taking in the full picture. Not just what James Franklin has done in the past, but what he has put together going forward. I'm not sure as a fan I'm ready to start all over again from scratch. And where I just think it's just too easy a reaction to say fire Franklin, besides the fact of who are you going to get to replace him? All right, yeah. There's my take, Mike. I need you to respond.
Yeah, Jim, you know, I'm actually surprised. I think that's a fair take from you.
Wait.
I thought it was going to be worse.
You're surprised that I gave a fair take?
I thought you'd be more on the extreme. But, yeah, to your point, you know, it's the day and age that we live in too, with social media and everything magnified, and everybody's so knee jerk, right, to everything. More so now than ever, I think, in college, especially in college football. Everybody lives and dies off of one game. I get it. You know, Coach Franklin gets it. He talks about it in his press conferences. Great thing is, you know, we do still have the whole season, like I talked about. Nobody wants to hear that right now. I understand that. But, you know, we have 2 losses, you know, and when you look ahead and you look game by game, you know, we're going to have opportunities to win out, hopefully, and say you win out, you know, and then we're going to be in the discussion at the end of the season for the postseason. I think, you know, to talk about the head coach, when people get on this kick about, you know, firing head coaches after one loss, it's just, I don't put any thought into it, to be honest, because it's just knee jerk to me. And I just kind of accept that's kind of college football now. But when you have a Fortune 500 company and Coach Franklin is running it, and it's built this thing up to where it's at, you know, this is just one or two games, right? We're gonna get over this. He's built this program so that we're gonna be able to get over this. We have players, we have the coaches, we have the staff, we have the administration. Everything's aligned. This is just part of our story. Everybody goes through ups and downs, and just the thought of like replacing coach with somebody else is literally you're starting all over. I don't think people understand, like, when you replace a coach, it's just replacing that coach, and that's going to get you, you know, national championship like right away. That there's so much coach has had to do to just get to this point that we're in a conversation, right? Talking about national championships. And I think our team's built that we're going to, they're going to be in the talks every single year. We just got to get over the hump.
And I have so many different thoughts. First off, I think for the media will lead the fans down a certain path. And the media right now, it's the easiest narrative in the world. You know, fire Franklin. It's the easy way out. But they don't talk about what the repercussions of that are. Okay. Right. I think it's possible for two things to be true. One, really disappointed and thought it was a terrible performance, not just what happened on the field, but the coaching of that performance. That's I believe it's a truth. Another truth is, I don't think you want to make that change. I don't think you want to deal with that. And that's the truth that doesn't seem to be dealt with when you have that easy narrative, get rid of the coach. Okay. So going forward, and by the way, if you're on that fire the coach bandwagon and you're asked, will this ever work? Exhibit A is always Georgia getting rid of Mark Richt and bringing in Kirby Smart. And see, they won a national championship. That's the exception to the rule. I think there, for every one of those, and there is only one of those, really, there's 100 where it goes the other way, Mike.
Yeah. Like I said, it's all about, look, Coach always talks about it. When you first got here, about alignment, and coaches needing that alignment from the top down all the way to, you know, the GAs and the interns, like alignment is huge. And he has that here, more so than he's ever had. And to get that alignment anywhere that you're at is tough. It is tough. Like there's usually there's battles you got to battle that, that kind of slow down your philosophy, your process, and where you're trying to get to, when it comes to administration and stuff like that. But coach has the support here, more so than he's ever had. So, and any coach trying to get that alignment takes years, right? And that's what you don't have in college football now is years, right? So that's why you just see this constant hamster wheel, I like to call it, of college football. It's hire new guy. New guy is the next Nick Saban. New guy doesn't have enough time and doesn't have alignment. So by year three, he's already on. That's basically year three. It used to be 4, 5, 6 years. Now it's like 3 years. You know, I worked with Coach Joe Morehead, who they fired after 2 years. So the hamster wheel is you hire new exciting coach, new coach comes in, new coach has to deal with obstacles to get that alignment that I'm talking about. And then by the time he gets the alignment, he's on the hot seat. And then they fire that head coach in 3 years, and then they start over again in the hamster wheel of college football, hiring and firings. So that's how I see it. It's unfortunate, but the teams that stick it out, you know, like they have here at Penn State, Dabo, you know, he struggled at the beginning and then got his team to the national championship. You know, it takes time to get where we're at right now. And I know you guys and the fans don't want to hear, but this roster and this program is in a really healthy place, like compared to a lot of other places in the country. And like I said, I know I get it. Nobody wants to hear that now, but I woke up this morning still feeling very fortunate to be a Penn State guy.
You know, Mike, and you and I have talked about this a little bit on the air, but even more so off the air. You have that experience of going, traveling around, being a coach at other programs, and this alignment that you talked about. Essentially, it's the support of the administration of the university is another part of the whole equation. And you saw examples of that in other places you coached at where you could see there wasn't that kind of support.
Yeah. I mean, even the support, all right, you say you have the support and the resources, right? I think Coach Franklin's did a phenomenal job getting that alignment and the resources and everything. But you have to get your coaches right. You got to get the analysts right that you hire, the GAs, the personnel staff, like everybody in that program. Like you saw a practice that one day, right? You saw a billion people outside of practice and everybody knew their job. Everybody was like a certain department, right? It takes a while to get that all right. And like I said, that's why I still feel very fortunate to be a Penn Stater, a Penn State guy, because I know that the program's still in a healthy position when it comes to alignment, resources, everything. Just got to get through this. This is a tough time, and we just got to get through it together.
And I also want to point out, and this is not me trying to be optimistic. Mike, I want to make sure I didn't lose you here. Are you still there? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry
okay,
about that.
I lost you for a second. Just wanted to make sure I wouldn't go on a monologue there and have no one on the other side. Where I was headed with this, though, and this is not to put a positive spin on it. If anything, I could take it as a negative spin. In both these losses, it was a very poorly played first half and maybe even first three quarters. The team still showed something by coming back and at the end of the game was right there with a couple plays that could have gone their way. Now, I'm going to say that without – even if those plays could have happened and fell their way and the team would be undefeated, there'd still be some question marks, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to spin the game into a positive, right? Like there's – you're just in a game where, you know, you're favored to win over three touchdowns and, you know, and you're supposed to bounce back. It's hard to put a good spin on it. Right. It's just caught us at a bad time. Like it's just a bad time. Like all those different variables that you talked about, like it's hard to pinpoint one that was the reason why, you know, we didn't win, but
when we come back, we're going to pinpoint the several points, Mike. We'll do that when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, supporting 31 sports and over 800 student athletes. If you want to know more, go to happyvalleyunited.com. I'm Jim Galante with me, Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, we're doing the postmortem from a really, really tough and disappointing loss against UCLA. And let's dig into the game a little bit, Mike. And so much happened in this game, so many things that are being questioned and talked about. Let's hit a few of them. On the field itself, Nico Yamaleava. That's the last time I'll try to pronounce his last name. He will go by Nico for the rest of this show.
I will never try to pronounce his last name.
We'll go with Nico.
Nico.
Probably the performance of his life. And the biggest thing, Mike, was his ability to run, to scramble, passing downs, passing plays are called, and he scrambled and escaped. I'm looking at the numbers. His net was 128 yards. He actually gained 153 when running, a long of 52, three touchdowns, 8 yards per carry. A spectacular performance by him. What a phenomenal athlete. But the big question, this was brought up during the telecast, was why wasn't Penn State spying on him? It became so much a part of the game. On third down, third and long, he would escape. And I'm trying to find my third down conversions here real quick. And here we go. They were 10 of 16, and I know a couple of those were late in the game that they missed. It was like 10 of 13, 10 of 14 earlier in the game. Talk to me about the Penn State's defense during this process. Should they have made an adjustment? Should they have put a spy on them? What would answer those questions for the fans?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. You know, you would think, you know, after a couple times getting burnt on, you know, him pulling the ball down and beating us with his legs, that we probably would adjust, right? I haven't looked back at the tape yet, but hopefully, I'm more concerned, not concerned, but like they changed their offensive coordinator on Wednesday, right? And it's kind of a crazy story, but I'm sure all the Penn State fans know about it now. But, you know, Rick Neuheisel's kid was the coordinator and was announced, I think, Wednesday night or Tuesday night that he was going to be taking over play calling. Like, that's a big deal, right? So, like, Coach Knowles and the staff, like, that's a tough thing for them to, you know, scout for because they don't know what the heck's coming out. And it looked like Nico was just playing loose and looked like he was comfortable. You know, so it was almost like, you know, that change really kind of was lit something, you know, over there that we weren't prepared for. So that's what I kind of look at. Not so much what Coach Knowles didn't do, but like having to prepare for that is tough.
Really? That was Rick Neuheisel's son as the offensive coordinator? Huh. I never heard that.
You would have thought he was the head coach watching that game.
Oh, really? And again, this is – okay, forgive me for going off on my tangent, okay? But this is what I absolutely hate about media, their coverage. You never know I'm part of the media, Mike, but I hate so many things with the media. And they were – oh, my God, I want to use some expressions that I can't on the radio. But what they were, you know, having their guy from their network and Rick Neuheisel coming on – and, you know, I get this is his kid. He's allowed to be proud of the kid. He's allowed to be happy. He's allowed that bias. Truly, he is. But I don't want half the game to be a conversation about Rick Neuheisel and how good his son is in his first game. Sorry.
I know.
I don't want to hear that.
Neither do I. but to me that does play a part in, you know, how we played, because that changing a coordinator on a Wednesday, like that's tough.
And I get you don't necessarily know what to expect from a new coordinator, because you could typically scout earlier games and get tendencies. But I don't think Rick Neuheisel's son called the play. All right, it's third and 15. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to pass. Everyone's going to go out in a pattern. Eventually, the pocket's going to collapse. And then, Nico, you run for 50 yards. Yeah. I don't think that was part of the game plan. And yet, it didn't take long for the trend to start up. It was either the first or second drive where I took note of, you know, three straight third down conversions. Like there was a third and 5, a third and 10, a third and 15 that were converted, and most of them were Nico and a broken play. So that's one the fans and granted, we're not there. We're not coaches. All we have to go by is what the color guy, Gary Danielson, And he seems like a pretty bright guy. He seems to know the game pretty well. And it's something he was talking about pretty early in the game. And there never seemed to be an adjustment made.
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said, after the second or third one, that's easy to see any fan, right? And say, hey, why don't we have somebody spying? And maybe we did. It's just we weren't able to execute on it. And maybe they were throwing something different at us that we weren't ready for. And maybe it had to do with the, you know, coordinator change on Wednesday and not, I don't know, seeing that. But whenever you have a quarterback that can beat you with his legs, like, that's always going to be a thing. You got to be careful and you got to, you know, put time into to scouting. But yeah, it's just unfortunate, just bad timing for us.
And speaking of the mobile quarterback issue, and this is one that's been talked about at Penn State for many years. We saw, you know, Trace McSorley, who was so good at escaping the pocket. I thought Trace was particularly good at when the pocket broke down, he could escape, but still keep his eyes downfield and still throw the ball. I thought that was pretty special. This is not me saying, hey, Bo Prabola is the guy they should have kept, that kind of thing. But it was addressed last week in James's press conference. He was asked about the fit of this offense for Drew Aller. And James seemed to just slough that aside. Hey, look, this is not a question of the offense not fitting the quarterback. This is a pro-style offense, and it should be a good fit for Drew Aller.
Yeah. I've talked about it in the past, too. I think it has a lot to do with just us finding a rhythm in this offense, not being surrounded by one guy. You know, the Tyler Warren last year, he was an entire offense, right? Like, he was doing everything. And now we have all these other different weapons and getting them – you know, in a rhythm, which is unfortunate, but we just haven't been yet. We've just been inconsistent. If we flashed, right, there's areas in every game where we flash, and we've seen that offense that, you know, we want to see consistently. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I think hopefully, you know, this week, coming back home against Northwestern, you know, we can get back on rhythm. It's going to be a really big week for our guys to mentally, you know, to wash this off, because we can't have this hangover going into Northwestern. And, you know, it's going to be really important that, you know, we come out and hopefully show more of a consistency on the offensive side.
You know, I want to go back one more time because it's my pet peeve, the media, okay? This is when I go into my salty gym mode where I have issues. When UCLA ran the Wildcat on one play right before the snap, Nico adjusted, the running back moved over to take the snap. According to the announcers, you would have thought UCLA just reinvented the game of football.
Yeah.
And a play that it probably half the teams in college football run, if not more, including Penn State, because you and I have talked about it. But it also is it fair that the announcers called us, oh, Penn State was so surprised by that. I would think Penn State sees that in practice all the time because they run it. That's my pet peeve with the media, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a narrative that they find as a game is happening real time, and then they jump on that narrative, right? The new Heisel kid thing. Oh, they jumped on that hard, right? And then every play was amazing. You know, and he's the next Bill Walsh. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, but that's what they got to do, right? They got to build it up and make it as interesting as possible.
No, they don't. Yes, maybe they want to make it interesting, but no, they don't have to find one storyline and then absolutely kill us with it, Mike.
Yeah,
no.
But that's what they do. That's what they do.
It is what they do, but they don't have to do it. Yeah. That's my issue with it, and it's one of those things I really don't like because it gives the it projects the wrong story of what's actually happening.
Right.
I want to hear the announcer say, you know what? Penn State does the same thing. Because I watch game film, I saw them use Katron Allen the exact same way. The storyline should be, why is Penn State surprised by it since they have to deal with it all the time?
Maybe that, we should do it. The better...
Yes. Thank you, Mike. You
there
and
we
I.
Go.
I think we could do a heck of a job doing it.
I agree.
All right. We're coming up to the end of the third quarter. There's still a lot of questions left for this from this game, Mike, that I'm going to hit you with. And I want to start with when we get back for the fourth quarter. It was so ironic. And the game against Oregon, for three quarters, the offense could do nothing. It took to the fourth quarter to wake up. And what do we have happening here at UCLA? The defense could not get off the field, a complete reversal. And the offense, who had very few possessions, actually performed fairly well. So when we come back, Mike, I'm going to ask you about that. And I'm going to give you a surprise person to blame for this. Okay.
Okay, I love it.
When we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to
the place. Sorry.
That's all right. For those who are wondering why Mike said it sucks to have to leave that place, He's recording from outside. I could see him like on a deck. Behind him is a wooded area. It's absolutely beautiful, Mike.
I know. Then I got to leave, but we have a 4-hour trip ahead of us. But you know, it's nice. My wife loves to drive. I hate her driving, but she has to always drive, which is fine because then I can just work, right? I can work on some stuff and get organized for the week. So that's nice. But yeah, I got a 4-hour trip in front of me. But yeah, having to leave this place sucks.
Having your wife drive, are you a nervous passenger when your wife drives?
No, I'm not. I'm more
by the way,
like,
that's the right answer.
No, I'm not. I'm more annoyed when she like has to park. She'll fumble all over the place. Like there's a million parking places, but she'll pass all million of them. Or like she'll like hit the brakes when she doesn't need to hit the brakes and break my neck. Like, you know, she's very frustrating. But the fact that she does drive, she loves driving rather than me. Like it's a positive. I spin it in a positive.
Glad to hear you're optimistic. And Mike, how long have you been married? How many years?
I mean, we've been together since I was 16. So we've been together a long time. We've been married since we got married 29, 30. So 11 years or something like that. But we've been together forever.
All right. So after that long term of relationship, if the biggest issue you have is her driving, you're doing very well, my
yes.
friend.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. I teased at the end of the last segment that I was going to give you somebody new to blame. Okay. Are you ready for this, Mike?
Yes.
It's me.
You. Yeah.
Me. You want to know why?
Because you're not 1-0. You think ahead.
No. Although okay. You can throw that into the mix. See, and this is the way logic of people. If B follows A, it must have been caused by A. Okay. So besides being a Penn State fan, what's the other team I root for?
The Mets.
The Mets. What happened to the Mets? When their pitching was good, they couldn't hit. When they could hit, they couldn't pitch. Okay. I'm the common thread here, Mike. Mets, Penn State, the disappointments are the same. You get the offense going, it's the other side. You get that going, it's the first side. So that's the issue. We saw, like I said, against Oregon, the defense was doing a great job. All of a sudden, you play a UCLA team that is not only 0-4, but they've lost to some really bad teams, and your defense can't stop them. So you can let James know it's not his fault, not the team's fault, it's mine. How's that?
I know. And you know what? Maybe we should start running some of those plays that you've been talking about to Vanga and – You know,
that's it. And see, now we're coming together here, Mike. We're putting the pieces together. By the way, in the last segment, also, I wanted to mention you mentioned the name Bill Walsh as a coach. How old do you think you have to be to remember Bill Walsh?
To remember Bill Walsh, probably mid 30s, I would say.
Okay, so our youngsters.
The casual football guys should probably in their mid-30s know who Bill Walsh is.
They should. He was the closest there was to a coach who was a genius. He changed the game in many ways.
Yeah.
Do you know also that Bill Walsh put out my favorite football quote because I've used it often? And you know what that was, Mike?
What?
The easiest down to pass on is first down. You probably thought that was my original thought. I got that from Bill Walsh, okay? So when you hear me repeating it, you'll know where it came from. Anyway, as I'm wasting time here, let's get back to the game itself. But you know I'll always come up with that offensive advice. Throw the ball on first down. But there were some things. Before we get to the offense, I do want to get to that special teams play, the onside kick. Boy, the UCLA player, he almost caught that ball on the fly, and there was nobody from Penn State around.
Yeah.
This is just plain something. Penn State special teams missed that, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think special teams coordinators, they always look for that. They always look at that front line, who's bailing early before the ball's kicked, and – they must have saw something maybe in a previous game on tape because that happened really early. I don't think they could have – there wasn't another return, right? That was the first return of the game, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, so because maybe, UCLA scored a touchdown on their first possession. That was their first kickoff.
Yeah, so maybe it's something on tape that they caught and they're like, hey, maybe we put this in the game plan. And, you know, like they had nothing to lose, right? So it might not have been that. It might have been like, hell, let's just – why not? You know, it's an interim coach. It's an interim DC, OC, you know, like why not? They have nothing to lose, which is scary for a Penn State who's trying to bounce back from a really emotional, tough loss like Oregon.
What I find interesting, and I think it's a great play because without going – diving too deep into the weeds – you know, possession of the ball is very valuable. And the onside kick, you're giving up perhaps 20 to 25 yards if you don't get the onside kick. But versus possession, that's a pretty nice risk, not one that many people want to take, but actually a pretty good a gamble there. The other part, though, I want to flip to the offense. And it was interesting in one of those pregame things I was watching, Mike, and I came in the middle and they were talking about this game and they were just generically talking about coming into this game, playing loose, just play for your teammates. I was 100% sure they were talking about Drew Aller. turned out they were talking about UCLA. So to your point, they were playing loose. Do you get the sense that Penn State, especially on offense, they just are not playing loose? Drew Aller himself seems to be putting too much pressure on himself.
Yeah, I think you've seen it. Like, you've seen it when he does the 4 minute or 2 minute. That's when he seems pretty loose, right? And then at the beginning of the games, them trying to get in rhythm, you know, it's just been inconsistent. So, yeah, that hopefully they can find that rhythm, that sweet spot for Drew and the offense here sooner than later. But, it's like Nico, like, he didn't look like that versus Northwestern, right, who beat them. You know, they played loose, and that's an important part. But, yeah, hopefully we can get in a better rhythm. But yeah, I'm with you. But when they do flash like that looseness, you know, we're tough. We're going to be tough to beat. But I know that's tough to hear now. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, the other part of the offense that seems it's confusing people that it's going on is the running game itself. Now, Katron Allen may be the best offensive performer on the team, at least through the five games. But Nick Singleton, against not great competition other than Oregon, he's averaging less than 4 yards a carry. And there's not some obvious holes that he's missing. Maybe one or two, he didn't make the right cut. But that's with any running back. Could you put your finger on anything that's going on between the offensive line, Nick at running back, the plays that are being called?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different offense than it was last year, you know, with, you know, everything kind of revolved around Tyler Warren. And, you know, it's, you don't see those huge explosive plays right now that we're used to seeing from Nick. And, you know, there's multiple different types of formations, so different groups going in there. Just need to get in a rhythm. We keep talking about, right? I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint it, but yeah, that's part of it. Getting in a rhythm in offense and with the run game, and then that will help, you know, open up the offense in the passing game. And if we can't, we just got to get in a better rhythm when it comes to the run game.
And overall with the offense, I feel like my most successful teams, they have a handful of plays, certain things they do that they can count on, okay? Mm-hmm. Push comes to shove, we could actually even tell the defense, this is what we're going to do, but we execute it so well. There's a couple things that we can lean on. Is there anything that this offense can lean on right now? It doesn't appear that they've established that.
Yeah, not consistently, right? That's what I think the painful part about this is right now. You know, we have all these great players and returners and depth right now, and it's inconsistent right now. And I think that's fair to say. You know, Coach has said it, you know, publicly, and it's easy to see. But, you know, the thing, I'll switch to the defensive side, is, you know, I was big on this defensive line is going to be huge for us. And yesterday, just seeing them – seeing the offensive line for UCLA, you know, win those battles at times on third downs and key situations was, you know, somewhat disappointing, because, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, we'll go as far as this defensive line will go, because it's such a talented group. But, you know, not only that, but then you have a tough emotional loss like last week, right? And then you get the news about Tony Rojas. Like, it's just another just like kick you while you're down type of deal. I think that came out Wednesday, Thursday. And then so you lose a key piece, you know, at your linebacker core. Just a lot of things that are tough to, you know, tough to adjust to. So yeah.
And you never want to use it as an excuse, because there is so much talent on this team, but the Tony Rojas loss with Nico running wild, don't think that's necessarily a coincidence.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Right. But I mean, you know, Amari's fast. Dom plays fast because he's smart. you know, we still have a good linebacker core, but yeah, Tony's just a different dude because he's got elite speed, especially sideline to sideline.
All right, Mike, that's got to be the final word. I know this one was a tough one for you to do. You did a great job, though, Mike.
Yeah. I like the layups, the ones after the wins. You know, those are the fun ones to do.
Hopefully next week we'll get on that winning train.
We will, Jim.
All right, that's it for our show. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.